Welcome to this episode of the Blended Beat Coffee Grab podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Paula Barnard-Ashton, and each week we ask a guest to pop into the studio to chat about their experiences and innovative ideas for blended learning. In this episode, we take a look at simulation and how this active blended learning technology supports students' clinical competence. Joining me today is Nabila Suji, Clinical Associate and Coordinator of the Faculty of Health Sciences Simulation Laboratory. Nabila, welcome to the show and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So before we start our chat, I think the audience needs to get to know you a bit. Nabila Suji is a Clinical Associate and a lecturer within the Center of Health Sciences Education. With three WITS degrees, she's also currently doing her fourth, a PG dip in simulation. She is passionate about health professions education, student support, and mentorship. Nabila, can you tell us a little bit about the faculty simulation lab and what drew you as a clinical associate to being so passionate about simulation?
Sure. So I'll start with the second question and then the first one. So as a clinical associate, most of our training has been integrated, very practical, very hands-on. So as a clinical associate educator for quite a few years, one of the things that I would embed in my teaching is simulation activities. A lot of it stemmed from emergency medicine because that's where our roots sort of were. And then I started interacting a lot more with the simulation coordinator at the time and slowly got really passionate about the idea of simulating clinical scenarios in the hopes of improving, you know, patient care. Then your second question around, okay, what is simulation in the WITSIM lab? So essentially, simulation in our broader understanding in simulation-based education is a way in which to replicate real-life clinical scenarios, hospital environments, clinical settings. The goal is improving patient care and patient outcomes, but also making healthcare workers safer for patients. The idea is that we use patients in our training quite a bit, especially in our context, but the Sim Lab offers a safer alternative to say, come in, let's work with the clinical scenario. So when you involve or involved in this in the hospital, you are a bit more aware and you're safer for the patient. What we do in the lab is a variety of things.
So how would you plan a learning activity for a student or a group of students, should I say?
So we cater to the whole faculty. So in terms of groups of students, we work with physiotherapists, speech therapy and audiology, nurses, clinical associates, medical students, undergrad and postgrad, in almost all of the above. Some of the activities we've been doing is clinically related. So what we do is we sit down, we discuss what do we want to achieve. And maybe we want to achieve a team-based approach to managing a patient. What we then decide is, what do we want to use to simulate this? And in the Sim Lab, we've got tech-enhanced stuff, but we've also got people. So sometimes we use simulated or standardized-based patients. So we train actors or, you know, lay people to simulate being a patient and have that consultation, counseling element of it. Or alternatively, we have fun and we play around with mannequins. And these mannequins have lifelike functionalities. So we've got mannequins that can breathe, mannequins that have normal and abnormal, you know, organ sounds, their pupils open. So we design simulations that will allow the student to not need us. So they can be immersed in the setting, immersed in the session, and manage the patient as they would the hospital. And then we sit and facilitate a discussion and a debrief afterwards.
So I think the debrief must be quite important because the student essentially has the opportunity to fail the scenario or get it wrong or not do a skill correctly. But because it's a mannequin, there's no real world consequence in this context. But if they had been doing it on an actual live patient, there might have been some serious real world consequences. So I assume the debriefing process has a really big role to play.
So one of the things I always tell people is you can't run a simulation without doing a debrief. The debrief in literature is the most important part about simulation. What the debrief does is two main things. It allows for a psychologically safe environment for the student or the healthcare worker, because we take them out of that pressurized environment and we sit down, literally like this in a circle, sit down and we talk about what happened. How did you feel about this? What was your thought process around what's been happening? And it encourages that reflective practice. So essentially that whole experiential learning cycle on, you know, we're involving you in an experience and now let's reflect on it. Let's talk about why did you intervene in this way? But also, why were you quiet? Why couldn't you step up as a team member? What were the dynamics or power dynamics that limited you from speaking? And we delve into a lot of those reflective pieces, which get quite exciting. And nice to see people be vulnerable and be open to share in that space.
And it's a safe space. I think that's it's really important that students feel safe to share. But I think it's also an environment where they can explore what they could have done differently, and how that would impact. And I think the interprofessional education element. Yeah, I mean, I think the SimLab is probably one of our best environments for IPE type activities, and it takes it right into the clinical setting.
Massive. So I think one of my passion projects, and you know, when I leave, that's something I really, really want to focus on and do, is interprofessional simulation. And I think the way in which to start it is mainly motivating people to see the value in it, and then slowly embedding it into curriculum. IPE simulation, I think we've tested it out with one or two professions, which seem to work really nicely. The goal is not so much the patient there, in my opinion. The goal there is, how can we work together as a team, but also, can we value each profession equally? Can we see the importance of every single member in the team and not just feel diminished as a team member because my profession is different, or I don't see my role in managing this patient? And I think that's a key gap in a lot of our curriculum that simulation can bridge.
Absolutely. So I think you have two roles. I mean, one of them is to train the health professions educator in how to run good simulation, whether it is simulated patients or actually using the tech and the mannequins. And I think you've got infant care mannequins all the way through to adult. So the train the trainer element, but then the student engagement. So where do you spend more of your time, and what do you enjoy out of
all of the above? So definitely enjoy all of the above. I think being a early career academic, moving from mainly undergrad teaching to now postgrad and faculty development has been such a big stepping stone. One of the interesting things about the faculty development part is just watching people appreciate teaching differently and saying, we were taught differently, but now we can see the value of this approach, of a facilitative, safe approach for students. And I think that was quite amazing. My time currently is spread quite evenly between all of the above, because a lot of the educators aren't sim trained completely. So what I do is do a faculty development course or a workshop or conversation. And then I teach with them in their first sim design or sim scenario. I'd then observe their next one and co-facilitate. And then the third one, observe and make sure all is fine and they don't need me anymore. Okay. But a lot of it has been engagement across all. So if I had to divide it, on a given day, it's kind of a bit of all.
So you've got to be very flexible in what you do.
Yeah, and move things around quite a bit.
Yeah. And scenario development, I mean, that must be tricky to come up with scenarios. I mean, are there pre-existing ones that kind of come with the tech, or do you have to kind of start from scratch with most of them?
So with our tech-enhanced mannequins, you can program scenarios into the laptop and it will automatically run it for you. You just have to man it and click on it. We can convert clinical scenarios to simulation. So some of our medical workers come in and they convert it. So they'll come with their idea and their background, and then we have to sit. The problem is it's a lot of time, which I think we take for granted, or we underestimate the planning time, because students will do different things when they're in the sim. So you can plan for them to do intervention A, but they're already at intervention C.
Yeah.
And as an educator, and especially a sim designer, you have to plan for that. And the mannequin needs to be ready to react to that.
Okay.
Sure. So sim design requires a step-by-step approach. So we've got templates that we give to people. So when we sit down and we design, preferably we actually design it together. And then they send it through to me. We edit, we comment, and then...
So
forward.
It's a case of if this, then that.
Yes.
If this, then that. And you have that multi-stage unrolling of the scenario. Okay, I mean, I think that's fascinating. And to bring it to blended learning, I mean, this is active blended learning. You've got the high tech, you've got the students engaged. How do you see blended learning and online opportunities having a place within what happens in the simulation lab?
So quite a bit. I think we try some of it, but there's opportunities way beyond what we can comprehend right now, I think. So currently, I think in our context and what the resources we have available, what we've been doing is what we call an online pre-brief.
Okay.
So there are some facilitators who will do an online recording of what to expect in simulation, what can the mannequin do? Because one of the things in sim is you can't expect a student to go into a newish environment and just know what the mannequin can do, because then they look to us. So the pre-brief needs to be quite comprehensive to say, this is what you're going to find, this is where you can find it, this is what the mannequin can do, this is what it can't. So the online pre-brief allows them that opportunity to go through that. So a bit of a flipped classroom.
Mm.
So you can do the online pre-brief, read a bit of preparatory resources, and then come into the sim. So in terms of flipped classroom, that's one way. In terms of online simulation, I think there's a lot of what we call flat screen simulation, where you can be immersed in a simulation game. So I know the gamers with VR and augmented reality enjoy this quite a bit. Currently at WITS, we don't have VR, but I think it's an opportunity to definitely tap into. The nice thing about VR is you're in your own comfort zone, but there's this element of mastery learning where it's a game. So you constantly want to one-up yourself. And the whole concept of gaming and clinical simulation is, can I make decisions for patients on my own? Can I do this? And then can I try it again?
Yeah.
Can we involve different themes and different aspects to it? So I think in terms of blended, that for me would be an approach to take.
And I think the opportunities around game-based learning and bringing different professions into the same simulation in a virtual world or virtual reality environment has so much potential. I mean, I think one of the challenges with interprofessional education is that we don't have the same number of students between the professions, that it's easy to create groups. So I think that, you know, from an IPE perspective, having simulation opportunities in virtual environments can kind of equalize, especially in a game, because then the students go in as and when they're ready, but they've got to achieve X amount before they're kind of
definitely
top of the leaderboard or
definitely. And I think that online environment where there are team-based games, so there's no reason you can't sign up and have, you know, different professions in an online game.
And they don't even have to be WITS students then.
No.
I mean, it can be from anywhere around the world.
Yeah.
So...
sure, definitely.
Lots to think about. So where do you see the sim lab going?
So I really enjoy what simulation can do for students' motivation and confidence, and I've seen it. So my biggest overarching vision for what simulation can do for the faculty is allow our graduates to be confident, competent, and motivated about their profession and their value add to the healthcare system. How the sim lab can do it is have sim activities embedded in every single profession across degrees, interprofessional sim. I think our space is relatively limited in terms of physical space, but also resources. So things that I would love to have more of is, you know, an embedded standardized patient training where we have trained actors, be it from Wits drama department, and have trained them to come in and be patients. To look at different types of equipment that's out there, because it's endless. I think things that are happening internationally are amazing. My vision would be an entire sim hospital.
So I went to one in America when I went over in 2018. One of the nursing colleges has a simulated hospital that has full wards that are simulated mannequins, and it's phenomenal to watch.
No, it would be amazing, from pediatrics to obstetrics to adult health, to the AI ones that can actually do counseling communication.
Absolutely.
Which would be absolutely amazing.
I mean, AI just shifts the entire potential now. I mean, ChatGPT, conversational AI going into a teaching environment where you have the words coming from from the mannequin as an artificial intelligence based, where you can also prompt and say, you know, you need to act as da 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 da, or, you know, having a non-compliance to medication and being adamant that you're not going to take the medication. You know, all of those kind of things can be built in and take advantage of AI.
And we've tested it out. So a colleague and I tested that out with ChatGPT, where we told it, please pretend to be a patient for a student. These are your parameters. This is what you shouldn't say. And then we said, we'll now start. And we asked it consultation-like questions. And it was just amazing. It can also design some scenarios, which I think is just great, because then we can teach people how to use technology better.
Absolutely.
Like, work efficient.
And I mean, that can be a simulation assignment for a student where you give the prompt, and then the student's got to then, so the initial ChatGPT prompt is a standard one, but then the student's got to engage, and then they've got to print out what their conversation was and what the responses were and how they reacted to those responses, because then every single student will get a different experience.
Yeah.
Which is quite incredible.
It is amazing. I think our possibilities are just endless right now. Yeah.
So, Nabila, I think to kind of wrap up, one thing, a sim hospital is our next mission.
I think we need
to aim that way, because then we can really prepare our students for the real world, and they can go in, as you say, into the real world with confidence. Is there anything else you'd like to add about simulation and some possibilities before we close?
I think at Wits, our possibilities are endless. I think we've got post-grad training that can really utilize it, because we don't have enough of that in our curriculum and training, but also undergrad. So I would just say, we are here in the sim lab, we are available, you know, come see what we're doing.
Absolutely. It's a call to action.
Yeah.
Visit the sim lab. Thank you so much for joining us today, Nabila.
I think
we've learned a lot and got some great ideas for the way forward. And that was the Blended Beat Coffee Grab podcast.